For we know that if the tent that is our earthly home is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this tent we groan, longing to put on our heavenly dwelling, if indeed by putting it on we may not be found naked. For while we are still in this tent, we groan, being burdened, not that we would be unclothed, but that we would be further clothed, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. He who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So we are always of good courage. We know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Yes, we are of good courage, and we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. God, I thank you for your mighty word, and that it can reach places nothing else can in this world. So I ask that you would reach the depths of our heart and our soul and speak to us and build the foundation we have in Christ. God, would you use John today? Would you speak through him? Would the Holy Spirit fill this place? In Jesus' name, amen.
Awesome. I want to talk to you this morning out of that passage. We're going to be in some other places as well, but I'm calling this How I Long for Home, How I Long for Home. And something that is so amazing is I feel like I'm living out a sermon illustration. It's really ridiculous. Like, I could go on and on. You know, like, it's so hard to focus. Like, there's so many crazy things going on, but I feel like there's so much to say in light of this is crazy. And so much of Scripture is receiving a deeper meaning. I feel like I'm receiving a deeper understanding on so many things. And something I've been meditating on for a while now is, this isn't spiritual. This is just me talking about how I long for home. I just want to go home. Have you ever felt that way? I just want to go home. You get out a long day of work, and you just want to go home. Your house burns down, and do you know what I want to do? I don't want my stuff. I just want to go home. I just want to go home. I want to sleep in my own bed. I want my own pillow. I want to wear my own clothes. I want to drink my own coffee. I want to eat food out of my own kitchen. You know, I want to be on my own computer. Like, I want to sit on my own couch. I just want to go home. And home isn't just, it's not the stuff. That's not what I'm talking about. It's that place, that sacred space that you go. It's your refuge. It's that familiar place where you can just be you, where you can wake up in the morning looking like, not like this. This is made up. I spent a lot of time on this. But when you just wake up in the morning and it's fine, you know, like, you don't have to worry about anything. You're home. How I long for home. And I believe that that longing for home is actually a God-given desire. And what I mean by that is this. Ecclesiastes 3 talks about how God has set eternity in our hearts. And there are things that we experience here on earth as humans that actually have spiritual insight. It's like they're a shadow of what is to come. And I believe a longing for home is something that God gives us because ultimately we have a home, but we're not yet there. So this desire for home, I believe, is from God. And honestly, having lost my home, I tell you, it's deep. The longing for home is deep. And I believe it's deeper spiritual because it's showing a deeper spiritual truth that is all over the Scripture. How I long for home. How I long for heaven. How I long for home. So I don't know if this is going to be a deep sermon or not, but what I want to do is remind you that this is not your home. Amen. And that the Lord would give us a longing for our true home. because everything here wants to, all the temptations, all the voices, everything wants us to think that this is it. This is where we live. This is life. This is where you put all your hopes and dreams. This is where all your toys are. This is where all the fun is. It's right here and right now. But as Christians, as followers of Jesus Christ, that is not true. And we know that. John 17, Jesus says, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world. Just as I'm not of the world. So, beloved, you need to remember this morning that you are not of this world. You look like everyone else, but you don't belong here. You belong to a different country. I remember growing up in the Philippines, that was just so real. Like I don't look like I'm Filipino, you know, like I live there. And you know, it's so funny. There was always, yes, home was there. Like I went to school there. We ate there. Life was there. But you know, it wasn't home. You know, it wasn't home. Home is in the U.S. You know, there is this, I'm not at home here. And it's funny what that does for you. It gives you this unsettledness. And there's always this looking forward. There's always this hope. There's always the, how I long for home. It's a longing. It's a longing for home. You know, in the Bible, it's all over the place, this longing for home. And I was reading even in Hebrews 11, the faith chapter, and it was talking about the Hall of Fame of Faith and Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and these men and women who live by faith and who gave their life seeking that which is unseen, seeking the promises of God. So Hebrews 11:13 says this, that these all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeting them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. That's what it says. They're seeking a homeland. If they have been thinking of that land from which they have gone out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desired a better country. That is a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. Isn't that amazing? So we know from the scripture that those who have gone before us in faith longed for home. And they considered that this life, that they were strangers, they were aliens, they were out of place. They weren't satisfied here. They weren't content here. There was nothing in this world that they were like, I'm digging roots here, because it wasn't about here. They were longing for that which was to come. And you know what it says? They didn't see it. They didn't realize the promise. And beloved, I want to remind you that we are going to see the promise, but it's not going to be on this side of earth. Our promise is waiting for us. So don't make your home here. Stir up a longing for home. So those in the Hall of Fame of Faith, those who have walked with the Lord, longed for home. And you think of it all throughout the Old Testament, this display, the shadow of the people of God being displaced. See it all over the Old Testament. And just an aside, I want to tell you something. The fires were bad, but being displaced is going to be worse, and that is where we're going to see the most effect on this community, is being displaced. So you need to know that God is going to stir up something because of being displaced. But back to the Old Testament, look at the people of God. You know, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and eventually they are in Egypt. Do you remember that? But there was a promise that Egypt wasn't their home. Yet they were there for 400 years. And eventually they were in slavery in Egypt. And I want you to think about this. Generations were born and died in Egypt. They made their whole lives there. They got married in Egypt. They ate there. They went to the grocery store. They went to school. Everything was done in Egypt. But do you know what? That wasn't their home. There was a promise to come. The promised land was not Egypt. They weren't living there. There's this longing for the promised land, and God had to take them out of there, rescue them from there, and take them to the promised land. But do you know what happened to those people? Is that they started to love Egypt. They didn't want to go to the promised land. Can't we go back to Egypt? Even though that wasn't their home. You see that? There's a shadow all throughout the Bible of that this world is not our home. You know, John 14, 1 through 3 is that passage you've probably heard when Jesus is talking about preparing a place and mansions. Says this, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me." This is, Jesus says, "In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you that I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and I'll take you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Isn't that good? Throughout the whole scripture, there's this longing for home. Jesus is talking about, "I'm going to prepare a place for you." He's going to prepare a home. You know, some versions talk about mansions. "In my Father's house are many mansions. He's going to prepare a mansion for us." But do you know what that actually translates best as? A place to stay. Jesus is going to go to the Father and make a place to stay. He is going to make home for us. So the longing for home after a long day of work, the longing for home after being displaced, is of God. How I long for home. How I long for that day where I don't have to be here anymore, because this just isn't home. My soul is restless here because it longs for home. C.S. Lewis says this, If I find in myself a desire which no experience in this world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that I was made for another world. Amen? I wasn't made for here. The longings I have in my heart aren't satisfied here. I'm longing for something so much more that only heaven can satisfy. Right? Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. So let's look at 2 Corinthians 5 and walk through what that scripture says. 2 Corinthians 5, 1 through 10. Paul says this, "For we know that if the tent that is our earthly home is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in heaven." I love right off the gates what it says. We know. We know that this tent, this temporary home is going to be destroyed. You know, I turned 40 recently, and I had another realization that this tent, this life is temporary. When I was 39, I felt really good about myself, but I woke up and I turned 40, I was like, I feel old, like overnight. It was incredible. But beloved, I want you to remember that this life is temporary. When you look at yourself in the mirror in the morning, you know that. If you are, maybe you put makeup on this morning, you at least brush your teeth, I hope. You know, like, this thing's dying, you know? This temporary thing is dying. And the only thing we can say is let it die, because this isn't it. It's going to be destroyed, but God is going to build a home for us. God is actually going to give us a new body. These temporary things are going to pass away. And do you know what? They have to. They have to, so that we can be clothed with what is imperishable. So we know that this tent, this earthly home is going to be destroyed, but we have a building from God, and it's not made with hands. God himself is going to make it. Now, that's not talking about a home structure. It's talking about us, our bodies. Paul's saying that this has to be done away with. And you know what's interesting? The word destroyed here actually is the same word that's used in the Greek to strike down a tent, to tear down a tent. So he's saying this is like a tent. This isn't a solid structure. This thing gets blown and tossed by the wind. This thing was not meant to live forever. It's temporary. And then verse 2 says this, "For in this tent we groan." We groan, longing to put on our heavenly dwelling. Beloved, do you groan? Do you long for God? Do you long for the day that this actually is over? Do you long for that day when heaven's your reality and you, this world is just done? We groan and we long to put on the heavenly dwelling, if indeed by putting it on we may be found naked. For while we are still in this tent, we groan, being burdened, not that we would be unclothed, but that we would be further clothed, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. I don't know if you feel it, but I feel the burden. I feel the burden of this life. Do you? There are good days, but I tell you what, it's crushing. It's the weight of death. It's the weight of sin. It's the weight of this earth that is passing away. And couple that with the longing that I'm not, this isn't me. This frame is going to pass away. So we groan and we long for what to come. I thank God for losing my home, because some of these things have been awakened. Longing for home. That groaning. You know, it's so easy to mask that with life and to mask it with just the rhythm of going through life, doing your things and stuff and whatever. But when it's all taken away, it sparks something in you. And beloved, if I could stir something up, is that we would groan and long for our heavenly dwelling. That we would not be satisfied here. That we would ache for eternity. You know what? We're not done. We have a lot of work to do here. So it gets really simple. It gets really simple. We would groan. Verse 5 says, "He who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has given us his Spirit as a guarantee." You know, one of my favorite verses, this is off the top of my head, I forget where it is, but Paul says, "I know whom I have believed, and he is faithful to guard what I've entrusted him with." You know, Ephesians 1 talks about the Holy Spirit given to us as a guarantee of what is to come. It's a deposit placed in us. It's going to be fully realized at the end, but right now it's a deposit. And you know what? If, as a believer of Christ, with the Holy Spirit living in me, the deposit is there. I am secure. I am guaranteed heaven. Not because of anything I'm doing, but because Jesus paid the price for my sin and didn't just save me. He put a deposit in me, guaranteeing me a future, guaranteeing me a resurrected body. Do you see this? Guaranteeing me heaven, guaranteeing me eternity with Jesus. Thank you, God. So, of course we have courage. Verse 6. "So we are always of good courage." Always. Not just sometimes. Not just when life is going well. We are always of good courage. Why? Because that home that we long for is guaranteed. Unbelievable. There's no like, "Oh, I hope, but I don't want to hope too much because what if I'm disappointed?" We don't have to go there. We're guaranteed the home that we long for. We're guaranteed eternity with Jesus. So we have courage. And beloved, if there's a time for courage, it's now. When people are so displaced. And it's not just people who lost their home. This is far-reaching. The whole community has been displaced. The whole community is thinking these things. Home. So as believers, you need to know that there's no reason to fear. Like, we have courage because our home is guaranteed. It'd be like living in Fountain Grove or Coffee Park and not being afraid when the fire is coming. Why? My house is guaranteed, you know? I'm guaranteed my home. I'm guaranteed my home. So we have good courage. This is hope. This is hope as we long for home. But this is kind of the main point of the passage, verse 6 through 8. It says, "For we know that while we are at home in the body, we're away from the Lord. For we walk by faith and not by sight." Verse 8, "Yes, we're of good courage again, and we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord." Isn't that good? The moment we're away from the body, we're at home with the Lord. We're at home with Him, the lover of our souls, the God of the universe, the one who paid the price for our sins. This answers the question of the ages. What happens when we die? We know what happens. So we have courage. Because when we die, we're with the Lord. I don't like my home. Not because of how I look in the mirror, but this isn't home, you know? This isn't worth pursuing. This isn't worth living for. And all of that entails, it's meaningless. It's the chasing after the wind. But heaven is our home. And that's why Matthew 6, you know, Jesus says, "Don't store up for yourselves treasures on this earth, where moths, rust, and fire destroy, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. For where your treasure is, that's where your heart is also." Doesn't it not say, this is a proverb, where your heart, home is where the heart is. Home is where the heart is. You see how that verse ties in? Where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. Where your treasure is, that's where you're going to call home. That's where you're going to call home. So what happens when your home gets burned up? Nothing. Because this isn't my home. Right? Amen. Nothing. Because this isn't my home. Yeah, there's some details to figure it out. Like, let's not get too far past that. But this isn't my home. My home is guaranteed. And as soon as I'm out of this home, this tent, this temporary structure, do you know what? I'm going to be home with the Lord. Amen. How I long for home. Do you long for home? Do you ache? Do you groan for home? The truth is, I don't want to speak for you, but I think many people don't desire heaven. They're caught up here. They're consumed here. This life is everything, even Christians. As a non-believer, of course it is. Of course this is everything. But as Christians, far too many people do not desire heaven. Heaven's not on our minds. It's not what we think about. It's certainly not what we long for. We wake up in the morning and we go through our lives. And yeah, Jesus is part of it, but do you long for heaven? Do you long for home? Are you feeling displaced as a follower of Jesus Christ, a stranger and an alien in this land? And can I ask God, make us displaced. Make us feel displaced by this world. Make us feel like strangers and aliens in this world. Because if we don't, we'll settle here. It'll be like Egypt for the people of God. That life becomes so comfortable, so routine, and generations happen that when the promised land comes, it's hard to leave. Oh, how I long for home. It's not about the dreams here. It's not about the hopes here. It's not about the pursuits here. Home is where the heart is. Home is where the heart is. So, beloved, this changes everything for us. This changes what we pursue. This changes what we think about. This changes how we spend our money. This changes what we do with our time. Why? Because this isn't home. This isn't home. Verse 9, so whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please him. We make it our way to please him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. It's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. And this life, as we know, is going to come to an end, and we will have to give an account. We will all be placed on display. And you know, there's going to be people who, obviously, Jesus is our access to heaven. Jesus is our ticket. No one comes to the Father but through Jesus. He is the only way. But even then, it says that some will be saved only through fire, that nothing will remain, because their whole life they had Jesus, they got the ticket, but everything else burned because they were living for this earth. They weren't living for heaven. So store up for yourselves treasure in heaven. It's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. You know, it's been absolutely terrible trying to think and focus about anything in this time because I feel so displaced. I feel so confused. It's hard to get excited about anything, you know? It's so disorienting. But, beloved, that's our life here. That's our life here. We're displaced. As followers of Jesus, we're displaced. You know, it's interesting because I hear this often. What do you need? What do you need? I heard your house burned down. What do you need? Do you know what I need? A home. That's what I need. So do you got one? You know, like, what do you need? You know, it's so funny. Money is helpful. There'll be a time for money. There will be a time when I need money. But it doesn't matter if I had $1 million in the bank. What am I going to do with it? I can't do anything. I don't have a home. You see that? Like, what good is money when you don't have a home? Like, when you're going to buy stuff and, like, donate it after you use it for a few days? You know what I mean? If you don't have a home, nothing matters. You know? Make all the money you want. Sure, if you're into saving, way to go, save away. But you can't use it. Like, I'm going to have to give away clothes that I have already if I end up bunking at one of your houses. You know what I mean? Like, if you don't have a home, what do you need? You need a home. That's it. Money doesn't matter. Clothes doesn't matter. Nothing like this matters if you don't have a home. It's all about a home. So what I want to impart to you is that you are homeless. You are displaced. And nothing really matters when you're displaced except home. It's what you long for. It's what your desire is. And you know what? It's what you need. You need a home. And you know what? Jesus provides us home. I'm going to go. I'm going to prepare a place for you. I'm going to prepare a home for you that you can be. You can settle. You can rest in. It's your refuge. It's the place you long for. And then as the people of God, we can say, how I long for, I just want to go home. Do you know what I've realized? Older saints get it. My kids don't get it. So this longing for home, this desire for heaven is something that comes with maturity. It comes with maturity. So if you do not long for home, if you do not long for heaven, do you know what that is? A litmus test to where your heart is. It is. But If there is a longing for home, do you know what? That's because God has shifted. He's released the roots from this world and given you a different perspective, a longing for home. Like, that's where your treasure is. It's not about here anymore. And I always think about this. You know, heaven's about Jesus. Heaven's about Jesus. When I was younger, heaven wasn't too exciting to me because I just pictured lots of Miguel singing, and that didn't sound like a good idea to me. You know, like, to sing forever sounded really lame, you know? That doesn't, no thank you. I'd rather just stay here forever, you know? Maybe make me good at basketball so I can, you know, do some stuff. But as a kid, I didn't want to go to heaven. I mean, why would I go to heaven if all you do is sing? But as I grew up in the Lord and learned and God changed me, man, heaven's about Jesus. Heaven's about Jesus. And do you know what happens? Houses burn down. You know, the house is gone. It's just a house. But do you know what? Home's gonna move with our family. Because home is where the heart is. Home is where the heart is. Miguel, do you want to come up? One last thought. Well, I read this, one of the commentaries, but it's talking about traveling light. When you're homeless, you travel light. When you're displaced, you travel light. You don't have, you know, a house full of boxes and containers when you move. Do you know how we're moving? We're packing the van. It's awesome. So you travel light. So, beloved, in this earth, we travel light. We don't throw a lot of things in our suitcase. And not that you don't have stuff in your home. You know what I mean. That these things don't own us. Like, we're loosely tied to things. So if it burns up, it burns up. If it disappears, it disappears. Because we travel light. It wasn't mine anyway, right? So we travel light. As the people of God, we travel light. Because this is not our home. Can we pray? Jesus, God, I thank you with all of my heart that you're going to prepare a place for us. You're going to prepare home for us. And there will be a day. There will be a day where we will no longer be home here. We will be home with the Lord. And Jesus, we long for that day where we could be with you. Jesus, help us not to be content and settled here. Help us to long for more. Jesus, help us to remain displaced. God, given us a longing for you that never is satisfied. It drives us to please you every single day of our lives. We love you, Jesus. God, bless us. We need you. God, give us this perspective when we wake up in the morning. Give us this perspective when we go to bed at night. In Jesus' name.